Canons of Dort, first head of doctrine, article 8 and 9. We will not be looking at 10 and 11 since we are covering most of that material. What we have and will do today, we'll pick up at 12, 13, and 14 next week, Lord willing, how you are to respond to your election. But today, you were not saved by good works or by foreseen faith. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Article 1 through 3, the first head of doctrine of the Canons of Dort, teach that all men from the fall of Adam and Eve have been inherently sinful and under the just condemnation of God. Articles 4 and 5 teach that God elected some to be saved, and he worked that election through preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were not zapped with your election, but he worked it out through the faithful preaching and the working of the Holy Spirit. Then Article 6 through 7 teach that God elected whom he would save out of pure grace. And now we expand upon that today. Today you will hear about three more things. Really, it's one more thing explained in three parts about election, and these are our headings. First, God elected his children with a single election. Second, God did not elect any of his children based on their good works. And third, God did not elect any of his children based on their foreseen faith. Our goals are that seeing the richness of God's love in electing you, you will rejoice in your election, one, and two, that you will allow him to use you for his glory. He called you to himself for a purpose. First, then, we will consider God elected his children with a single election, and we'll read together Article 8. Let's begin on a single decision of election. Together, this election is not of many kinds. It is one and the same election for all who were to be saved in the Old and New Testament. For Scripture declares that there is a single good pleasure, purpose, and plan of God's will by which he chose us from eternity, both to grace and to glory, both to salvation and to the way of salvation, which he prepared in advance for us to walk in. Now we break that up in pieces, bite-sized pieces, if you will. The Old and New Testament Christians were elected with the same election, not three kinds of elections. Election, as Arminians argue. Arminians, of course, are the followers of Arminius, one who departed from orthodoxy, from truth. Furthermore, Old Testament and New Testament were not only elected the same way, but they were saved in the same way. Whether there were Jews in the Old Testament and Jews in the New Testament, Gentiles in the Old Testament, Gentiles in the New Testament, they were not only elected the same way, but they were saved in the same way. This one election always leads to salvation in Jesus Christ. There is no other way one can be saved but through the election by the Father, the redemption by the Son, and the sealing by the Holy Spirit of God. No one could be elected by the Father and saved in some other way. As long as you were elected, you would be redeemed by the Son, you would be sealed by the Spirit of God. Now, let's consider all the details of how this salvation was provided. Or how, rather, it was not. First, I'll come to our second point. I'm sure that's probably the fastest first point you've ever experienced, but I need to get that first clear. There's one election with which all people were elected. God determined in one way how he would elect. Second point, God did not elect any of his children based on their good works. Remember, I said the Arminians come up with three different ways. Some will say, yeah, there's kind of a single election, but we believe that you were saved. The election was to good works. And then when you do those good works, you are saved by those good works. And in particular, what are good works? Keeping the 10 laws. So they believe if you keep the 10 commandments, and maybe some of them say you must have faith as well, then you are going to be saved. So they reject that all people for all times were saved through faith in Jesus Christ. I think this is one of the reasons you find that the Arminians are much closer to the Roman Catholics or people from other religions, because they tend to support this good works, the benefits of good works, as if it had some saving virtue. But of course it doesn't. Obeying the laws cannot save you. It doesn't save you. Now, those who argue that Jews were saved by keeping the law, or Gentiles as well in the Old Testament, or partly saved by keeping the law, are denying what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? John chapter 14, verse 6. Together, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You notice the definite a preposition there. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not a way, a truth, or a life, as if there were many others. That's what you hear people say. That's the popular things. There are many ways to God. No, there's not. There's Jesus. No other way. Moreover, it is a personal attack against the sacrifice of Jesus and the sufficiency of the atonement to suppose some other way of salvation. Jesus is not the new way. We have one in the Old Testament. If you kept the law, you were saved. And in the New Testament, you come to Jesus and you're saved by grace. No, Jesus is not the new way. Jesus is the only way there ever was and ever will be. So those who teach dispensationalism, that man is saved in a different way, in different ways at different times, and one of those very popular men who hold to dispensational ideas, a man named John MacArthur, many people follow. But those who say that you are saved in different ways, by doing good works or maybe a combination of the two, they're making a very bad error. There's one election, always leading to one salvation. Let me make this clearer. Take note how Jesus rebuked Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a leader of Israel, but he did not know the one way man was saved. Jesus pointed out that one way to him, as opposed to the work salvation to which Nicodemus was holding. He believed if you kept the law, if you did the things that you should, you were okay. That's what the young rich ruler who came to Jesus said he did. He kept the law. And we should keep the law, of course. But look at what Jesus said to Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verse 7, 9, and 10. Together, "Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? You don't know how to be born again. You don't know how to be a Christian. And you're a leader." So embarrassing. See, being born of the Spirit was how all the Old Testament saints were saved. You can read a whole long list of them in Hebrews chapter 11. And even there it says, there are a cloud of them. We can't even name all of them. But this is why David prayed in this prayer in Psalm 51. He says, "Please do not take your Holy Spirit from me." He wasn't saved by keeping the law. He was elected by the Father. He was redeemed by the Son. He was sealed by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit was working in his and every other believer's heart in the Old Testament. And Jesus was there. Even though he didn't die yet, Luke 24 says, Jesus said, the law, the Psalms, the prophets, they all speak about me. What about him? That he came to live and die for sinners. And in fact, Jesus even made it clearer to Nicodemus, saying, what do you mean born again? He probably was struggling with that. Well, let's read. Probably the most famous verse in the Bible, and you couldn't get it clearer. John 3:16, together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Everyone must believe. What about Jesus? They must believe that he lived and died for sinners. That's what it means to believe in him. Not believe that he existed. The devil knows he exists. But believe in what he did. And it's worked out by faith in Jesus Christ. There was no salvation by good works. So there's only one election, not three. Now, those who argue further, let me make it even clearer now. Those who argue that Jesus, the Jews were saved by keeping the law, must look at Romans 11, which shows that all believers, old and new, are children of Abraham and saved by Jesus alone. In Romans 11, Jesus is pictured as this olive tree. And the Jews and Gentiles are joined in him. That's why the Bible says in Romans, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Those who are not will be condemned. That's what John 3:18 says. You don't believe you're condemned already? Let's read Romans chapter 11, 23 and 24 together. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary into nature into a cultivated olive tree, how much more will these, who are natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? The Jews who are part of that olive tree, and the Gentiles are part of that old olive tree. And that's not sufficient. There's more. Those who argue that the Jews were saved by keeping the law must look at Hebrews, which speaks of the unity of the house, Christ's house, the Old Testament house and the New Testament house. And the Old Testament house had Jews and Gentiles. The New Testament church had Jews and Gentiles. Let's read Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 together. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. Now, what I want you to see, the highlighted parts in your notes, you notice it was his house, one house, God's house. Moses was part of that house. Peter was part of that house. The Gentiles were part of that house. You are part of that house. House here means householder or family, Christ's family, Christ's house. And the Apostle Paul also addressed the Ephesian Christians in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9, and said together, now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow Christian citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So the Gentiles were not strangers anymore. They were saved in the same way. And remember, Ephesians 2 just flows nicely from Ephesians 1 that says, you were chosen by the Father, redeemed by the Son, sealed by the Spirit. And now, who are these people? The Jews and the Gentiles. And they're where? In one family, in one house. So election is inextricably linked or tied to Jesus. There's no election without Jesus. Everyone who was saved was elected. Everyone who was elected believed in Jesus, was saved by Jesus. In the covenant of redemption, Jesus was given a certain number, the elect, by the Father for whom he would die, and he saved every single one of them. He said, everyone in my hand is safe. No one can pluck anyone out, and not one would be lost. So today we have the same faith, the same Savior, the same gospel, and the same church as the Old Testament saints. So we've got the doctrine. What's the application? Keep calling people to faith in Jesus Christ. Let them hear the message. The message is not maybe you are elected or not. The message is Jesus Christ came to save sinners. And if you receive what he has done, you are saved. You have eternal life. Believe in him. Believe in what he did. How he lived and died for sinners, and then respond in obedience, then respond in doing good works. You notice where the good works come. The good works come as a result of election and salvation. The good works don't cause salvation. And one thing for you boys and girls at home. Does God look at your good works and save you? Like when you obey mommy and you help her to clean up and put away your toys, maybe to sweep the floor. Does God look at that and say, that's a good boy, I'm going to save him because he did good works? The answer is no. God wants perfect obedience, and you are not perfect. What you did was good, but it's not good enough to save you. God will only save you because you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins. It's the only reason. Then we come to our third point. There is one election, first point. The second election, second heading is, you're not saved by your works, which is really what some people argue is the second election, that you are saved by good works. But the Bible says, no, you're not saved by obeying the Ten Commandments. No one is. They don't even help to save you. There's a third type of election that the Arminians argue for, but which is what we will disprove. God did not elect any of his children based on their foreseen faith. Let's read then Article 9, election not based on foreseen faith. Together, this same election took place not on the basis of foreseen faith or the obedience of faith, of holiness, or of any other good quality and disposition, as though it were based on a prerequisite cause or condition in the person to be chosen, but rather for the purpose of faith, of the obedience of faith, of holiness, and so on. Accordingly, election is the source of each of the benefits of salvation, faith, holiness, and the other saving gifts, and at last eternal life itself flow forth from election as its fruits and effects. As the apostle says, he chose us not because we were, but so that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Now, I know sometimes these paragraphs can be a little bit confusing, but take the time, look it over, and maybe even this evening. But I'll explain the best I can to show what the main point here is. And the main point is that no one was elected based on their foreseen faith. God elected to save some out of grace, not because he looked into their future and saw that they would believe. Look at John chapter 15, verse 16. Together, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. So you were chosen in order to bear fruit. It's not the other way around. God chose you so you could live for him. He chose you for his glory. Well, there are those who look at the look at what God said and said God looked into the future and saw that men would believe and then decided to elect them on that basis. That's so wrong. There are big problems with that teaching. Why? What would be wrong with that type of teaching that God saw who would believe and then say, okay, I will choose him? First of all, no man would choose God by himself. Man is in innate rebellion against God. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 through 16 really brings that point home. Let's read those verses together. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And it continues. Can you imagine anyone having faith? This is the natural man. There's no faith there. It's only bitterness, poison of snakes under their tongue. So God could not have looked to see who would have faith, because none would have had faith. No man would choose God by himself. And that's the second part. No man could choose God by himself. They didn't want to do it because there's sin in their hearts. They couldn't do it because they didn't have the ability. They lost that ability. You can say man had free will. He just didn't have the ability to choose properly. He could only choose to do wrong. Look at how this is shown to us in scriptures. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13 together. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So God had to work first, because no one would choose him. No one could choose him. What about Jeremiah? Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 18. Together, I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself. You have chastised me, and I was chastised like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord my God. A couple of things here. Ephraim there is just a name for Israel, because it was one of the larger tribes. And here, Ephraim is struggling. I was like an untrained bull. Restore me, and I will return, for you are the Lord. What is he saying? You can't control a wild bull. A wild bull can't do anything good. They don't go around, you have a wild bull, you hide. You jump a fence, you escape. And he's saying, this is only what God can do. Man could not choose God by himself. So God didn't say, well, let me see if this person is going to be good and have faith. No, you couldn't have faith. You couldn't choose to believe in Christ. You oppose Christ. Even with the glimmer of light that is still in man, the Bible talks about the image of God that still remains, though it is tarnished in some way. Even the glimmer of light in man is not enough for him to choose to serve God. In fact, according to Romans 1, the Apostle Paul says man suppresses that light, hides that light. You see this illustrated in Jacob's life. The man is not able to choose God by himself. I mean, was Jacob choosing God? Not by long shot. He was trying to trick his brother. He connived with his mother. Stole his brother's blessing. And yet, before he could see the light of day, before he could say, Mama, the Lord had chosen him. And you think about it, how different was Jacob from Esau? How different were they? They were brothers, twins. They were not much different. The difference was God loved Jacob. In fact, Esau said, 2 times this man miserably deceived me. God does not choose worthy people. He does not choose people with faith. You know why? Because none was worthy and none had faith. God chose worthless people. You were worthless. What the Armenians are doing is robbing God. It's trying to say, well, maybe you kept the law, so maybe God chose you because of that. Maybe you had faith in him, you believed in Jesus, that's why God chose you. No, you were worthless. You didn't care for God's law, and you surely didn't care about his son. Yes, many people might seem to be good, but they can't do good without being awakened by the Lord. God must determine whom he would awaken, and this determination of whom he would awake is called election. Look at that played out for us in Acts chapter 13, verse 47 and 48. Together, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. The ones who were elected, appointed to eternal life, they're the ones who believe. The preaching was to many. And that's what we still do today. We preach the gospel to many. The ones who are the Lord's will hear and believe. Now there's an interesting thing before we conclude this. There's a little bit of a twist that some Armenians make. And they do this to appear more consistent with the word of God, because they see in the scripture election, election, election. The elect, God elected. But they say, well, God elected people, but he only elected people to have faith. He did not elect to save them. So take a little departure from this, God looking in the future and seeing faith and therefore rewarded that faith. This is saying that he looked into their future and he says, all right, I'll give you some faith, do what you want with it. They're basically arguing that the election does not lead to salvation. They're denying what we call that golden chain. But what did the scripture say? Remember the golden chain in Romans. The ones who were chosen or elected are the ones he called. The ones he called, he justified. The ones he justified, he will sanctify. And the ones he sanctified, he will glorify. But they try to weasel out of the obvious by accepting the fact. Instead of accepting the fact that you were chosen to eternal life, they said, well, God elected to give some people faith. So there is election, but it was only to give people faith. Well, they're wrong in two levels. First of all, faith does not cause election. If you're elect, God gives you faith to receive the work of Jesus. In other words, faith is the fruit of being elected. They're reversing the order. But the Bible says God elected and then he gave you faith. And they're saying, well, God gave you faith and then you accepted. If you accepted, then you are elected. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Second, this is wrong because they're arguing that there are grades of faith. So some people have faith and they believe. But some people have a different kind of faith that maybe it will save them, maybe it won't save them. And by the way, that's taking a precious gift of God and tossing it aside, saying it's no good. In some cases, it doesn't save. But wherever there is faith, there is salvation. There is only one faith. There is only one election. because God elected you and because God gave you faith, after that, you are saved. You're saved forever. So the Arminian argument that God elects men to have faith holds no truth. And in fact, it just minimizes God's love. And God will give you something and you can... But it's not as effective. But finally, number five. Since your election has nothing to do with your goodness, as before, we have to say, but it depends upon God's goodness by giving you faith, how then must you respond? The fact that you were not saved by your own faith apart from election, that God gave you, God looked and saw you had faith, and your faith came naturally, rather, better way to say, that you have faith in yourself. How do you respond? Well, you must be more grateful for your election. If you were not elected, you would have no faith. If you had no faith, you would have no salvation. If your salvation depended on you and your faith by itself, you'd be lost. Look at Psalm 135, verse 3. Together, praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises to his name, for it is pleasant. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel for his special treasure. The Lord has spoken. You notice the response? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! He is good. Praise the Lord! His name is pleasant. God has chosen me. And he did so in that one election. Could you say this if you had to obey God's law? Praise God that I could obey his law. Who could say that? Praise God that I have faith. Who could say that? Well, we could say, praise God, he has chosen me. You are no longer in your sins. But there's a second application, and it's this. Use the means God gives you to work out his election in salvation. Remember, we say to be saved, you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit works. Well, you continue to do that. You're assured of your election. You read your Bible. You pray every day. You call on the Holy Spirit to help you more and more. Your faith becomes stronger, more confident. You know, sometimes everyone doubts. Everyone at sometimes in his life will doubt whether he's a believer or not and wonder if this is all true. And you scratch your head and think, well, how did all of this happen? That's not strange. But how do you deal with those things? By reassuring yourself with the Holy, with the Word of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit. That's when the assurance comes more and more in your life. Let's conclude. God elected and saved all his people, Jews and Gentiles, in the same way. They were elected in Jesus and saved by his death on the cross. God gave his elect faith to believe that Jesus died for them. God did not elect any of his children based on their obedience to his law. God did not elect any of his children based on their foreseen faith. So, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, praise God for electing you and saving you through faith in Jesus Christ. Without this faith, you would be heading to hell like all atheists, Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists, and people of every other religion. Faith in Jesus Christ. Praise him for that. Second, hold on to God as Jacob did to Jesus. Remember how he started wrestling with Jesus? Then Jesus touched his hip, dislocated his hip. And what was the response? He started to cling to Jesus. Hold on to him. Let him nourish and bless you. Hold on tightly. And then tell others of him. Let them hear the gospel from you so they may believe and that they may be saved as well. And if you're not a Christian, know that your sin is not an obstacle to your salvation. Let me repeat that. Your sin is not an obstacle to your salvation. In fact, recognizing that you are a sinner and recognizing your hopelessness are the most important things you can do in life. Then cry out and say, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. My sin is nothing because Jesus took my sins away, nailed them to the tree. Whoever, the Bible says, calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved through Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. Thank you that you chose us, not because of our obedience, for we couldn't obey you, not because of our faith, for we had no faith. It's a gift from you. But now that we have this faith, now that we can obey you, continue, Lord, to help us and strengthen us, that we will grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that assurance of our salvation will be rich in our lives, that we would not be overwhelmed by troubles and cares around us, for we know we are yours, and we are yours forever. Hear us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.